privilege to speak on Easter Sunday. I was talking to a non-Christian in the week, and they said, you know, what are you doing, Lizzie? And I said, well, I'm doing some prep and for Sunday, because I'll be speaking. And they said, what are you speaking on? I said, well, it's Easter Sunday, so I guess it has to be the resurrection. And we were just laughing about it. But, you know, as I was just asking God, I felt God take me to Luke 24 and to talk, just to look a little bit about the story, the time when on the road to Emmaus. I'm just going to read it very quickly. Well, as quick as I can go, but we're just going to read it through. Just the story. If some of you may not be familiar with it, but it's taken place. We've had Friday where the crucifixion took place, and then we have obviously then Jesus is crucified, and we most of us, even if we're churched or unchurched, will know the significance of what that's about. And Jesus is then put in a tomb, and then on the Sunday, the women go to the tomb and they go with ointments and spices because they want to anoint his body. And when they get there, that is what we celebrate every day as believers, not just Sundays, Easter Sunday. It's something we celebrate every day. But when they got there, the stone was rolled away and that he was risen. And that is the truth of the gospel. That is what we're here for. That's why we celebrate. That is what... we do, as believers. That's what it's all about, that Jesus has risen. And then we come on to Luke 24, and we read this story. And after the women had gone, and they were confronted with what they thought was a gardener, and he comes and speaks to them, and then they go back to the men, and because men don't always believe what women say, they have to go and investigate. And so they run, and they investigate, and we know the story. But I want to take it from Luke 13, Luke 24, verse 13. Later that Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a journey of about 17 miles. Now, in most of your Bibles, it may say 7 miles, but it's depending on who you are looking at. There's two places. There's a place, Emmaus, or there's a place that refers to the Burning Springs, which is in modern-day Israel, and so they're still unsure, depending on who you connect with or who the writings are from. But anyway, they're on their way to Emmaus, wherever Emmaus may be. And so whatever that was going to be a good couple of hours' journey. And they were in the midst of a discussion about the events of the last few days when Jesus walked up to them, accompanied them on their journey, but they were unaware it was Jesus walking alongside them, for God prevented them from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, you seem to be in deep discussion about something. What are you talking about so sad and gloomy? They stopped, and the one named Cleopas answered, haven't you heard? Are you the only one in Jerusalem unaware of the things that have happened over the last few days? Jesus asked, what things? I always think it's quite amusing, this story. The things about Jesus, the man of Nazareth, they replied. He was a mighty prophet of God who performed miracles and wonders. His words were powerful and they had great favor with God and the people. About 3 days ago, the high priests and the rulers of the people sentenced him to death and had him crucified. We all hoped that he would be the one redeemed and rescue Israel. Early this morning, some of the women informed us something amazing. They said they went to the tomb and found it empty. They claimed two angels appeared and told them that Jesus is now alive. Some of us went to see for ourselves and found the tomb exactly like the women said, but no one had seen him. And Jesus said to them, why are you so thick-headed? Why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets had spoken? Wasn't it necessary for Jesus, the Messiah, to experience all these sufferings and then afterwards to enter into his glory? Then he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself throughout the scriptures. He started from the beginning. It reminds me of the word that you brought at the beginning, and explained the writings of Moses and the prophets, showing them how they wrote of him and revealed the truth about him. And as they approached the village, Jesus walked on ahead, telling them that he was going to a distant place. They urged him to remain there and pleaded, "Stay with us, it will be dark soon." So Jesus went with them into the village. And we'll come back to the story in a little bit. And, you know, when we read this story, we often recognize, you know, we look at these two disciples, and often we just look at it and we think, actually, these are two men. But I was just looking at it yesterday, and I thought, actually, this possibly could be a husband and wife. You know, they spoke about the man's name, and it could have been a husband and wife, but it doesn't really matter. It was two disciples, and obviously Cleopas had actually been at the tomb. He'd obviously ran with the others, and we have no reference because he said, you know, some of us went to the tomb, and we don't really know, but he knew of the events. But we became very aware that these guys were walking in disappointment. And they became, you know, there's a possibility, I believe, that actually probably doubt came in. All those emotions that we have when we think something's happened and then it feels like it's been snatched away. And you know, when we look at it, we kind of go down the whole thing of disillusionment, defeat, and it always seems to begin with the letter D, discouragement, despondency, depression, despair, and the death of hopes and dreams. And so often, many of us have times in our lives when it feels that we've been robbed, and these hopes and dreams, that we've been discouraged and we feel defeated in situations. And they were left downcast, and they were left confused, just a group of disciples, and they were afraid, and they were bewildered. What happened on that Good Friday? Often when we have those situations in our own life, we have to realise what and where we are standing. Because often when something happens in our life that causes us to feel defeated or feel crushed, or stuff happens, and that's life. And, you know, we've sung this morning some amazing songs. And one of them is, you know, the goodness of God. And some of you may be saying, how can God be good in my circumstances? How can God be good when I've had to deal with bereavement, I've had to deal with loss, I've had to deal with just, you know, financial difficulties? How can I know that that's the goodness of God? But the testimony of us that love Jesus is that the goodness of God enables us to stand through those situations. And these disciples, they came to a place where they felt incredibly defeated. And often we have to ask ourselves, you know, where do we position ourselves or camp around when we start feeling defeated? You know, if we look in a situation when we are feeling down, often if we have to put ourselves around people that are going to encourage us, inspire us, and build us up, actually we find that actually we journey so much better. When we decide to position ourselves around people that are going to go, woe is you, that is so sad, I am. You know, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be compassionate, because compassion is something that God wants us to be. But we need people around us that are going to cheer us on and build us up and say, come on, God is with you. There is hope in this hopeless situation. You know, we know that beautiful scripture in Romans where it says, you know, that Abraham, and it all seemed hopeless, that God still just restored that dream, you know, that dream of that he would be a father of many nations. See, God comes and he wants to restore our hope. And these disciples had got into a place where almost they started to spiral down. They were so focused on the events that had taken place. They were not focusing on what had happened when the women went to the tomb. They weren't focusing about the fact that you know, Jesus had risen from the dead, or, you know, what appeared to have been risen from the dead. They still hadn't got it. They still hadn't really understood. And the essence of what God was wanting to reveal to them was actually that he was going to, you know, he was risen from the dead, and that he was going to still fulfill all that he had promised. But they didn't see that. They began to start saying, but we thought he was going to redeem us. He was going to save Israel. Their expectations were low. And so often we go into situations in our own lives and we start to spiral down. We say, God, you know, where are you? What's happening here? I don't understand it. We start with negative talk of defeat and disappointment. Over the last couple of days, Rob and I have set ourselves a challenge. And we're trying really, really hard not to speak negative about stuff. And it is really, you know, we try to do it on a regular basis, but we really have kind of positioned ourselves and said we're going to actually challenge each other every time we feel there's a negative conversation. And it's been frustrating, quite frankly, isn't it? Because we find that it doesn't take long and we find we're having to challenge each other because we're trying to actually get to the point where we're actually not negative about anything. We're not, you know, we want to kind of be really positive and not be defeatist or speak negative about anything or people or whatever. And it's hard. But, you know, we need to recognise that actually we mustn't spiral down with negative talk or defeat or disappointment. See, Jesus came alongside them in verse 18 and he says, "Why so sad and gloomy?" You know, they weren't skipping along the road saying, "Hallelujah, Jesus has risen." They weren't shouting to everybody and saying, "Have you heard the good news that Jesus has risen from the dead?" They weren't declaring that out. They were positioning themselves in a place of sadness and being gloomy. They weren't looking at what Jesus was doing. They were focusing down on what was happening, what they perceived was happening around them. And Jesus, you know, it just came and said, "Why so sad and gloomy?" How do we respond when we're in situations like that? How do we respond when the washing machine breaks down? When we hear bad news? When stuff mess up, you know, it feels like things are just breaking down around you. How do we and where do we position ourselves? You know, so often we completely miss out on what God is doing because we're so focused on what's going on around us, the problems, the struggles, the disappointments. And we take our focus off of Jesus and we put our attention on what seems to be the circumstances so we don't see the victory that's coming. See, we shouldn't position ourselves to look for victory in our circumstances. We should start from a place of being in victory to see our circumstances change. God wants us to know what it is to walk in victory in all the time. That we're not actually saying, "I want to see victory in that situation. I'm standing in victory in that situation. I may not totally see it, but I'm standing in the victory that God has promised that he will fulfill." You know, Jesus said to them in verse 17, 18, "You seem to be in deep discussion about something. What are you talking about? You're so sad and gloomy." And Cleopas said, "Have you not heard? Are you the only one in Jerusalem that's unaware of things that have happened over the last few days?" See, this event had affected the whole of the community. This was not a single. This had affected, so the nation, the city, were all aware that Jesus had been crucified. They were aware of what had happened. And I'm sure even at this point, there were rumours going out that something happened. The stone has been rolled away. You know, I'm sure those words were beginning to spread through the city. But these guys were so focused on what they hadn't seen. And seeing what, you know, believing that actually there was no hope in the situation they were in. Even the reports of the women from the Christ tomb that was empty didn't raise their spirits. They became more confused. How often, you know, when people come around us and say, "Actually, God is going to just break through in this situation," but we don't see that. We just keep focusing on where we're at. You know, Jesus came alongside them, and I just love this in verse 25 of the Passion. It says, "Why are you so thick-headed? Why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? Wasn't it necessary for Jesus, the Messiah, to experience all the suffering and then afterwards to enter into his glory?" And then he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself. Jesus started to reveal Jesus to them. He started to speak about it. And, you know, I can imagine he took them to write through the scriptures. And, you know, I would just imagine what an amazing privilege to have been on that road and heard Jesus just explaining the whole scriptures of what led up to it. That he was saying to them, you know, I bet he reminded them of Abraham. And when Abraham was in, you know, Lily came to that place of sacrificing Isaac. Because, you know, Jesus was, you know, God sent his son to sacrifice his son that we could have life in life in its fullness. There was probably, he spoke about Isaiah 53. You know, he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. He went through the scriptures, what the prophets had prophesied that would happen. He went through it and he just revealed the heart of who he was. Jesus spoke revelational truth to his disciples. He starts to reveal himself as the resurrected Christ. And you know, Jesus is beginning. He just wants to reveal himself to each and every one of us in our world. You know, it goes on to say in verse 30, it says, joining at the table for supper, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then at once, their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus. Then suddenly in a flash, Jesus vanished from their very eyes. Stunned, they looked at each other. Didn't we recognize it was him? Didn't our hearts burn with the flames of holy passion while he walked along with us? Aren't we very good after the event? We're very good after the event to say, oh yes, my heart was full of passion. And I believe God is actually speaking to us. Actually, he wants our hearts to be full of passion. He wants us to have an encounter with him and our hearts to burn for him with passion, to begin to be able to journey the situations that we do in life. But he's wanting to reveal himself to a hurting world. And the only way he can reveal himself is through us, his children. He wants us to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven into our world. He wants us to reveal to the world that he is the Prince of Peace, that he is love, that he brings freedom, that he brings hope, that he brings joy. See, often when he came to bring truth into the situation. The truth is that Jesus is alive. And truth breaks lies. The truth is that Jesus is alive. That's the truth today, that Jesus is alive. And we live in that truth. Today we celebrate that truth. The truth is because of the cross, death has been defeated. And we claim that for a little testimony this morning. We claim that he will know what it is to walk in health and wholeness. The truth is we don't have to walk in defeat and disappointment anymore because of Jesus. We don't have to walk in that. Because it's been defeated. That is the truth. The truth is what Jesus did on the cross. And there's this brilliant quote from Julian Adams. He put on my social media this week. And it says, it was lost. What was lost in the Garden of Eden has been fully restored from the garden tomb, in a garden tomb in the Middle East. When Jesus spoke the words, it is finished, it was about so much more than just justifying us and calling us to be a part of him. He was pointing us back to the Garden of Eden and saying, finally, my new creation can cover the earth. That's what the gospel's about. What happened in that Garden of Eden was fully restored in the garden when the tomb was rolled away and Jesus was resurrected. The truth is, because of the cross and the sacrifice that Jesus made it possible for you and I to have a relationship with the Father, our Father who loves us and desires the very best of us. If you don't know Jesus today, that is what God has got for you. He wants you to have a desire with his Father. He wants you to have a relationship with the Father. The truth is, as a result, we are sons and daughters and now have access to all of heaven's resources. And we read that in Romans 8, verse 17. The truth is that we have hope. And we read that in John 3, verse 16. The truth is we have life in all its fullness in John 10. And in the Passion, it says, I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in all its fullness until it overflows. We can live in that. We can live in the fullness and abundance of life until it overflows. The truth, when truth is revealed, the lie is destroyed. The lie that the enemy gives us, that we can, you know, that we are defeated, that we are no good, and all those things the enemy gives and mucks up in our heads at times. But we can use scripture to break lies. We can use declaration to break the lies. And in Matthew 4, we know how Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. And, you know, the Satan came and chucked loads of stuff at him. And, you know, you can, you know, he said, you know, that you could turn stones into bread and you can jump off of buildings and all this if you worship me. But Jesus came back with scripture every time because the truth breaks lies. And whatever lies Satan is giving you today, whatever lies that he is speaking over your life, the truth is that Jesus, the word of God, breaks those lies. In John 14, 16, it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know the Father. You know, this morning is an opportunity. If you've never known what it is to have a relationship, to have a reunion with the Father, a Father God that loves you with a passion, a Father God that has you on his mind, a Father God that has everything about you. He's created you from, as Julia said, from way before your parents even had a thought. God had you in mind. And his desire is to have a relationship. And that was restored when we come to the place where he came and God sent his son Jesus and he sacrificed his son. And Jesus came back to life and he was resurrected. And we can live in that resurrection power today. We can live in that resurrection power completely and totally today. I want to just remind you of a story in John 3 when Jesus had an encounter with a man called Nicodemus. And he was a man that was a well-schooled man. He was the best amongst the best. As a Pharisee, and he came to Jesus in the undercover of night. Now it could have been the fact it was time when you went to meet people or whatever it was, but he went under the cover of night. He could have been afraid, whatever it was. And he said one night, he discreetly came to Jesus and said, Master, we know that you are a teacher from God. Even saying that as a Pharisee, he'd put himself right up there. But no one performs the miracle signs that you do unless God's power is within him. He recognized who Jesus was. He recognized that he was the Son of God. He recognized that he was the one that had been promised to come. And Jesus answered, Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom's realm, they must first experience a rebirth. And Nicodemus said, rebirth? How can a grey-haired man be born, reborn? Is it possible for a man to go back to the womb a second time and be reborn? And Jesus goes on to talk about a supernatural rebirth. And that is what we talk about this morning. Actually, that each and every one of us have come into that supernatural, or we can come into that place of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you've never made that decision, if you've never recognized him as the Lord of your life, if you've never said, God, I just want to give it all to you this morning. I want to give my life. I don't necessarily understand it all. I don't understand necessarily what's it all about, but I know that you're a God who is faithful. I know that you're a God that is true. I know your truth brings life into lifeless situations. And every person that comes into relationship with God has known what it is to have a supernatural rebirth. We know what it is to come into that place. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, if you place yourself in Christ, if you say, I surrender my life, I stand in you, Christ, then the old has gone and the new has come. That is the truth of the gospel. Whatever's gone before has been completely wiped out. And you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I always, do you know, that for me, that has always been just an amazing piece of scripture. You know, because I look at some people and they say, you often say, but you don't know where I've come from. You don't know my past. You don't understand the journey I've journeyed. Yeah, we don't understand, but God knows. But his truth is, he said, the old has gone, the new has come. That is his truth of the gospel. And God wants to speak to us this morning. He wants to say that I am a God who loves you. I am a God who just wants the very best for you. I am a God that wants to journey with you every day. As Jesus journeyed with the men on the road to Emmaus, and he begins to unravel who he is, as he begins to speak about the truth of what it was all about, because they didn't quite get it. You know, and so often we don't sometimes get the obvious. We don't sometimes get the truth of what the gospel's about because we don't allow Holy Spirit to renew our minds. We don't allow Holy Spirit to just renew our hearts. But God is wanting to just restore us and bring us to a place where we can encounter him and we can just love him. It goes on, the story in Luke 24. It says Jesus appears to his disciples. And from verse 36, it says, while they were still discussing all of this, Jesus suddenly manifested right in front of their eyes. Now, Jesus had been with them, had a meal broken, done the part, you know, the breaking of the bread, and then he had disappeared. And then the disciples, they'd gone back to Jerusalem, these two guys, these disciples, and they'd met with the other disciples. And suddenly, as they're there in the room, Jesus just appears. See, he'd come in his resurrected body. He'd come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, peace, be at peace. I am the living God. Don't be afraid. Because it must have been pretty scary when someone walks through a wall. I think I may be just a wee bit alarmed. And Jesus speaks the obvious, don't be afraid. And I believe this morning God is saying, don't be afraid. You know, we had a word last week from Theodora, be strong and courageous. And I believe sometimes when we come into relationship with God, we need to be strong and courageous. Those Christians in Sri Lanka, and Marion is going later this year to Sri Lanka, you know, those Christians are strong and courageous. We can come here Sunday after Sunday and we kind of just do church. But what would it be like to come to a place where we are persecuted? Where a terrorist comes in and throws a bomb into the place? Would we still stand? Because we know he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jesus says, why are you so frightened? Don't let doubt or fear enter your hearts, for I am. Come and gaze upon my pierced hands and feet. See for yourself, it is I standing here alive. Touch me and know the wounds are real. See that I have a body of flesh and bone. See, he just revealed himself. He was still flesh and bone. He still had the scars. He still had the wounds. He was able to show them where the nails had pierced his hands, where the nails had pierced his feet, where he'd been pierced in the side with a sword. He showed those scars. The disciples were ecstatic yet dumbfounded, unable to fully comprehend it, knowing that they were still wondering if he was real. Jesus said, here, let me show you. Give me something to eat. Do you know, I think Jesus is so practical. He doesn't do anything. He just says, bring me some boiled fish. Give me a bit of honey. You know, I must admit, if I'd gone through all he did, I think not sure honey and boiled fish is what I'd be asking for. But yeah, he just wanted some, you know, just, I want to show you. Because he wanted to reveal to them that he was there. He was human. He was, you know, that he was there. He wasn't a ghost. That he was real. Then he said to them, don't you remember the words I spoke to you when you were still with me, when I was still with you? I told you everything written about me would be fulfilled, including all the prophecies of the law of Moses through the Psalms and the writings of the prophets. that they will all find their fulfillment. He supernaturally unlocked their understanding. And this morning, I just believe God is saying and wanting to speak and unlock supernaturally his word over your lives. And that's my prayer, that he will unlock his words over your lives. That if you've never known Jesus, that he will unlock that truth over your lives. And it goes on and it says, then he opened their minds, they could understand. And it goes on, and there's this just wonderful in verse 49. It says, and I will send the fulfillment of the Father's promise to you. Stay here in the city until the mighty power of heaven falls on you and wraps around you. Just love that. Because his promise was that I'm going to go to be with my Father, but I will send a comforter. I will send a counselor. And he will wrap around you and he will fill you. And that you will know all of heaven's resources if you believe. You know, he showed evidence that he was alive. He showed them his wounds, his pierced hands. He came in bodily form. They saw his scars. He ate with them. He revealed who he was. And this morning I want to say to us, let's not walk in sadness and disappointment. For Jesus has risen. He's risen from the grave and he lives victoriously as the living God in resurrection life. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the only one who can bring us into relationship with the Father. The truth is, trust in him alone to save you, and you can spend eternity with him. That's the truth. This morning I want to encourage us, let's live out of hope. Let's not live out of disappointment. Let's not spiral down and focus on what we think is there. But let's focus on what God is going to do over your lives. So wherever, you know, I don't know your circumstances this morning, but I want to testify. My testimony is, the more I keep my attention on him, the more my hope rises and the more I see the victory of his glory coming over my life, over my situations, and I see a God who is faithful to all his promises. I want to invite people here this morning. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never known him as a Father in heaven who loves you, that only wants to do good things for you, that wants to bless you, walk with you, that wants to come, as Rob spoke last week, sometimes bringing correction, but he wants to come and love on you. And this morning I believe there are maybe people here that God just wants to touch. And if you need a fresh encounter with Holy Spirit this morning, you know, every day I need a fresh encounter. I need a fresh encounter of Holy Spirit over my life. And so this morning I want to invite you to allow Holy Spirit to fill you, refresh you, fill you with power of heaven, to wrap around you, to know that he is God and he has you in the very palm of your hands, his hands. So Father God, we welcome you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are the risen Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for Easter Sunday. We thank you that on that day you rose from the dead, that, Father, sickness was defeated, death was defeated, that, Father, we have access to a wonderful Father because of what you did on the cross. And, Father, we just come this morning. And, Father, if we've never prayed that prayer before, we say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we just invite you into our lives. We invite you into our lives and we say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Jesus, come and just wash me clean. Give me a new understanding of who you are. Unlock my mind that I can begin to unlock the scriptures that my mind will begin to understand. Father God, I want to know you. I want to see you. I want to keep my attention fully on you. because you are faithful and you are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.